All of us face obstacles in life of one form or another. Those obstacles can become the impediment that leads us from where we are now to where the Lord wants us to be. What are the obstacles in your life? We trust and pray that this morning the message from the book of Joshua will lead us to overcome those obstacles, to bring down the Jerichos in our lives and lead us to where God wants us to be, and lead us to a faith to live in.
This is Faith for Living with Dr. Michael Milton, an outreach of Reformed Theological Seminary. Today, Dr. Milton brings the first part of the message, Overcoming the Obstacles of Life. Here now is Dr. Michael Milton.
This morning we read from the book of Joshua. The man who is the follower of Moses, and who had to lead the children of Israel across the Jordan into the Promised Land. Behind him lay a wilderness, in front of him lay a land of milk and honey. But what he had right in front of him, in between those two things, was an impregnable fortress of pagans called Jericho. It's going to be the first great challenge. How would he face it? How do you face the obstacles and the challenges in your life? Let's join together as we read the inerrant and the infallible Word of the living God, beginning with chapter 5 and reading selected passages from the book of Joshua. Verse 13. When Joshua was by Jericho, he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man was standing before him with his drawn sword in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, Are you for us or for our adversaries? And he said, No, but I am the commander of the army of the Lord. Now I have come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshipped and said to him, What does my Lord say to his servant? And the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, Take off your sandals from your feet. The place where you are standing is holy. And Joshua did so. Chapter 6, verse 1. Now Jericho was shut up inside and outside because of the people of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, See, I have given Jericho into your hand with its king and mighty men of valor. You shall march around the city, all the men of war going around the city once. Thus you shall do for 6 days. 7 priests shall bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. On the 7th day you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. And when they make a long blast with the ram's horns, when you hear the sound of the trumpet, then all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people shall go up, everyone straight before him. So Joshua the son of Nun called the priest and said to them, Take up the Ark of the Covenant, and let 7 priests bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the Ark of the Lord. And he said to the people, Go forward, march around the city, and let the armed men pass on before the Ark of the Lord. Verse 15. On the 7th day they rose early at the dawn of the day and marched around the city in the same manner 7 times. It was only on that day that they marched around the city 7 times. And at the 7th time, when the priest had blown the trumpets, Joshua said to the people, Shout, for the Lord has given you the city. And the city and all that is within it shall be devoted to the Lord for destruction. Only Rahab the prostitute and all who are with her in her house shall live, because she hid the messengers whom we sent. But you keep yourselves from the things devoted to destruction, lest when you have devoted them, you take any of the devoted things and make the camp of Israel a thing for destruction and bring trouble upon it. But all silver and gold and every vessel of bronze and iron are holy to the Lord. They shall go into the treasury of the Lord. So the people shouted, and the trumpets were blown. As soon as the people heard the sound of the trumpet, the people shouted a great shout, and the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they captured the city. Verse 26. Joshua laid an oath on them at that time, saying, "Cursed before the Lord be the man who rises up and rebuilds the city Jericho. At the cost of his firstborn shall he lay its foundation, and at the cost of his youngest son shall he set up his gates." So the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame was in all the land. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of the Lord will endure forever. Let's pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. How do you deal with the obstacles in life? I'll tell you how I dealt with one obstacle that came in my life. I used to play football. And as I was playing football one time, I had a decision to make about how to deal with obstacles of life. I was running the football back. I broke through as I received the ball. I broke through the front line. I broke through the second line. And I was home free, except for these two little fellows who were a lot smaller than I was. And they stood between me. They were the obstacles that stood between me and the goal line. And rather than go around them, I decided to go through them. And they grabbed on top of me, one on one side of my jersey and one on the other side. And they grabbed hold of my shoulder pads, and they just hung on. They were like two little ants on me. And I was a lot bigger than they were, and I was going full bore into that goal line. All I wanted was those 6 points. And the problem was they kept sliding down, and they slid down my jersey. And the closer I got to the goal line, the farther they were sliding down, to the degree that they grabbed hold of my hip pads. And they kept pulling downward. And so that by the time I was in the end zone, I could hear the cheering, but I heard laughter. And I couldn't figure out what all the laughter was about. And I looked around, and those little guys were still hanging on. They were tenacious. Well, my pants were down around my ankles. And I looked around, and I saw everyone was laughing, and the cheerleaders were running. What I learned then was the way you deal with obstacles can reveal the most intimate things about you. I wonder how you're dealing with the obstacles in your life. Difficulties at work. Difficulties in relationships. Difficulties in health. Difficulties in your heart relationship with the Lord. All of us have obstacles that stand in the way of where we've been, the commitments we've made, the dreams we've had, the people we want to become, and the milk and honey land of promise before us, the place we want to go, the place we want to be, the school we want to go to, the life that we want to build. In between here and there, there are always obstacles. That's just the way life is. The question is how we deal with it. Joshua is a wonderful book to settle in and study, to learn how to deal with overcoming the obstacles of life. As we settle into Joshua, I have to agree that this impregnable fortress called Jericho, the first great challenge of Joshua and his army, is not just a make-believe place, but it's real history. In fact, one great Joshua scholar said, "The story of the fall of Jericho must not be treated as a mere product of Israel's faith. It is, we believe, historical narrative as well as theological presentation." Archaeologists tell us that this was 25 feet high. Its walls were 6 feet deep. It was the very symbol of Canaanite invincibility. And we all know what happened from our Sunday school song. Joshua fit the battle of Jericho and the walls came a-tumbling down. That is what happened. But the way it happened provides lessons for us on overcoming the obstacles in our own lives. How Joshua approached Jericho becomes for us the way we approach the obstacles in our lives. And I want to ask you today to name the obstacles in your heart, in your mind. Name the obstacles that you face that stand between where you've been and where you want to be. The vows you made in marriage, the marriage that you want to have, and yet the obstacles you face now. Maybe the vows you made, the pain that you had to endure in a divorce, and the new life you want to make, the faithfulness you want to establish with the Lord, and yet the obstacles, the pain, the life, the challenges of life. What are those? Being involved as a servant of the seminary, I know that some of the obstacles of our seminarians are financial. It's one of the biggest I know as a seminarian. Moving a family halfway across the country to follow God's call. Seminary for ministers to be is generally the first stage, the first step. It's the first call. It's Jericho. It's the first obstacle that has to be overcome. Academic obstacles, obstacles of money and finances, obstacles of balance with time, and for our seminarians, it's Jericho. It's the place, the impregnable Canaanite fortress, if you will, that's in between the vows made, Lord, I'll follow you wherever you want me to go, and that first call, that church, or the mission field. But how about you? I know that as I am speaking, there are all kinds of obstacles. And when I read the book of Jericho, we'll correct that. When I read the book of Joshua and I study the story of Jericho, I know that it has practical application for your life in so many ways. As I recently read this to my own son, 16 years old, and studied this very passage with him and thought about the dreams that he has for his life, the places he wants to be, the land of milk and honey, as it were, and yet the challenges that he faces. What are the obstacles in your life? How do you overcome them? The number 7 is always important in the Bible, because the number 7 in the Bible is literally the number for completion, because it's the same number as, it's the same Hebrew word as Shabbat, as the Sabbath, the place of rest, the place of completion. God created the world in 6 days. He rested on the 7th. And so the number 7 is important. And so they were to march, these Hebrews were to march around the city 6 days, but on the 7th day they were to march around it 7 times. And so it's a very important number, and therefore it's a very important guide for us. It's saying, do it my way, not man's way. Do it God's way. And so I want to take the liberty with your time and mine to invite us in to see these 7 steps, these 7 movements in the passage. which lead God's people to overcome the obstacles of life. And listen, could lead some of you to overcome the obstacle of unbelief, so that the wall of Jericho, the wall of unbelief, of doubt, of skepticism, can come tumbling down. The first movement in the passage is one that is absolutely critical for each and every one of us, even as it was critical for Joshua. Joshua had learned that the leader of the people of God was really not Joshua. It was someone else. The first step, if you're writing this down, the first step to overcoming the obstacle of life is to follow the leader. And God comes not to the people of God, but God comes to the one He had appointed leader over the people of God, and that is Joshua. Joshua had to learn to follow the leader. And that really comes from the text that we read in chapter 5 of Joshua, where the commander of the Lord's army encounters Joshua. Joshua was by Jericho. He was in front of the thing that was the obstacle that lay between the promises of God and the land of milk and honey, as it were. He lifted up his eyes, and behold, a man was standing before him with his drawn sword in his hand. Joshua goes over and says, "Are you for us or for our adversaries?" Answer is very interesting. He just says, "No. But I am the commander of the army of the Lord, and I have come." Joshua's response is very interesting. He falls on his face and worships him. I want you to know something. In the Word of God, no angel ever receives worship from man. The commander of the army of the Lord here receives worship. And he says to him, that is Joshua, "What does my Lord say to his servant?" And the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, "Take off your sandals from your feet, for the place where you are standing is holy." Doesn't that sound familiar? Isn't that what happened to Moses at the burning bush? Well, the truth is that this commander of the Lord's army must surely be what Matthew Henry described, the pre-incarnate Christ. This man, Matthew Henry says, was the Son of God, the eternal Word. Joshua gave him divine honors, and he received them. A created angel would not have done. In chapter 6, verse 2, this angel is actually called Jehovah. And to Abraham, he appears as a traveler. To Joshua, as a man of war. Matthew Henry gives great insight when he says, "Christ will be to his people what their faith needs." That leads us to ask the question, what do you need Christ to be for you today? St. Peter needed restoration after having blasphemed and denied the Savior, having run away from Calvary. So Christ came to Peter to give him forgiveness in John 21, and to send him, and to say, "Tend my sheep." Christ came to him, and he became for Peter exactly what Peter needed. In Acts 18, St. Paul was preaching at Corinth. He gets kicked out of the synagogue. He gives up, as it were, and he says someone else is going to have to preach to the Jews because he had been kicked out on his can. And so he gets out and he gives the Old Testament sign of anathema and, you know, clicks his shoes together and says, I'll no longer preach to the Jews. I'll only preach to the Gentiles. He walks next door, and lo and behold, the president of the synagogue had been converted. A moment of failure for Paul became an awareness that God was working even through his failures. And so that evening, the Lord comes, this commander of the Lord's army, captain of the army, Christ himself comes and says, do not be afraid, but go on speaking and don't be silent, for I am with you and no one will attack you to harm you. Listen to what the Lord says in Joshua 1:9, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Don't be terrified. Don't be discouraged, for the Lord God will be with you wherever you go. It's the same thing. Christ comes to us at our place of need when we're standing before an impregnable fortress. Something we have no idea how we're going to get across, and Christ becomes to us exactly what we need. And he says, I'm with you. Don't be afraid. You know what? That's a place that is a holy place. It's a place where you learn that you're not in control, that you're not the leader. It's a place where you learn to follow the leader. My son is a senior patrol leader of his Boy Scout troop. And so I've been talking to him about leadership principles. And I told him this weekend, as he's anticipating a big camp out, and he's got 60 boys that he's responsible for, and he's got to help plan this event and then make sure everyone's where they're supposed to be, I said, son, I want you to remember something. All great leaders are great followers. All great leaders are followers. He said, Dad, I hear you. Well, what do you mean? I said, all great leaders have understood that there is a principle, there is an idea, and in the case of a Christian, there is a person they must follow. They recognize that they're not the leader, but that principle, that idea, that vision, Christ is the leader, and they follow Him. And others follow you, but they're really following the Lord. We're going to pause right here on the fields before Jericho, in the midst of these seven steps leading to overcoming the obstacles of life. We're going to pause right here. We're going to go forward in the weeks to come. Right now, let's pause and simply say, this is yours, Lord. Let's simply say, this is the Holy Spirit working through you at this time. It's time for you to receive and reflect on what you've heard. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Dr. Milton, what about observance of the Sabbath? Was the ceremony of the Passover, the Remembrance Day, considered their Sabbath day, and then they went forth, and on the seventh day when the walls fell, and that was a victory, and they had another observance of the Sabbath on the seventh day. How did that work?
That's just such a wonderful question, because though the Sabbath is not mentioned per se in the story, the Sabbath is everywhere in the story. Because of the number seven, because of Passover, because of the way this goes about, it does have the subplot of the importance of 1 in 7, of the subplot of God's supernatural creation and then His rest. It does have the gospel subplot of Jesus Christ doing what we couldn't do and of us needing to rest in Christ, rest in His salvation in their time of the Passover, rest in that, rest in His deliverance on the seventh day through what? Through a shout, through observing and following God's law in the blowing of the trumpets and marching around seven times. So there is the power of following God in this holy day. Remember now, the object of the holy day is always to point to Jesus. It's to point to the fact that our faith, our religion, if you will, is resting in what Christ has done for us. As Augustine said, what God has required, God has provided. And so that's the lesson of the Sabbath day. That is why it is called the Queen of Days. And I love the way even modern Jews today call Shabbat, that is the Sabbath, the Queen of Days of the week. Because it is a day of celebration, a day of rest, a day of worship, a day of renewal. But the focus now is no longer on the supernatural activity of God in creation. It's the activity of God in recreation, in redemption through Jesus Christ. But I think it's an excellent question, because in and under the whole story is the fact that Israel is resting in the promises of God. And that is what the Sabbath is really all about. The Sabbath was made for man. And I believe it was made for us not only to get a day off, which certainly is a part of the cycle of life. 1 in 7 is needed in our lives in order to have a balanced, healthy life. But our spiritual life is also ordered, if you will, around the cycle of a 1 in 7 day of not only rest, but worship and remembering, a day of reflection, remembering, a day of thinking about what God has done, that we are resting in what Christ has done for us. So that is a part of the Jericho story, is Shabbat, is rest, is the seventh day.
If you'd like to know more about Dr. Milton and the ministry of Reformed Theological Seminary, visit our website at faithforliving.net. Also, Dr. Milton recently wrote a book called Songs in the Night, focusing on how the gospel can transform our pain into praise. Today, we're offering a free chapter taken from that book called Theology of Thorns. If you'd like to receive your free booklet, call us at 1-800-390-7426. And ask for offer number 11-11.